Welcome to CERT's podcast series, Security for Business Leaders. The CERT program is part of the Software Engineering Institute, a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You can find out more about us at CERT.org. Show notes for today's conversation are available at the podcast website. My name is Julia Allen. I'm a senior researcher at CERT working on security governance and executive outreach. Today, I'm very pleased to introduce Betsy Nichols, Chief Technology Officer at PlexLogic and a faculty member at the Institute for Applied Network Security. Today, we'll be discussing how to develop and sustain an effective security metrics program. So welcome, Betsy. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
So to get the ball rolling, why do you think the security community struggles so much with being able to define, collect, and present security metrics? Why is this such a tough subject?
Well, certainly this is something I hear all the time, that people say that they struggle with security metrics. And I think there are probably two primary sources of difficulty. They have to do with the what and the how, basically. So let me talk first about the what. The what means that what you really need is a really clear statement of objectives for measuring and providing whatever enlightenment those metrics are going to deliver. The how is more along the lines of creating tools for automation so that metrics have repeatability, clarity, and authority. Looking at the first topic of the what, in security metrics we have yet to really converge on a clear statement of objectives, I think. I mean, what specific enlightenment do we want? If you look at other disciplines like data center service level agreements are an example. The classic metrics that are used there are mean time between failure, mean time to repair, availability, response time. These are metrics that the industry has converged on as being useful. And what are they doing? They're trying to characterize, in the case of MTBF, mean time between failures, its frequency of failures. In the case of MTTR, or the mean time to repair, that's duration of failures once they do occur. Availability is just the probability that a user, when he wants to access a service, can indeed access it. Response time has to do with the quality of service that he gets once he can access it. Those are all topics that an industry has converged upon that says these things need to be measured and they need to be monitored carefully, and these are the agreed-upon measurements that we're going to use. To just take analogies from healthcare, you get blood pressure, temperature, height, weight, pulse rate, things like that. Again, what we're trying to do is focus on a specific aspect of, in this case, an individual's current medical condition.
In that particular example, you have the number, and then you have either the meaning ascribed to the number or how a particular number or metric is used in concert with others to derive meaning, right?
Yes, yes. Typically, metrics such as these have what you might call either a baseline or a goal. In service level agreements, for example, you have desired levels that you want to achieve, and the measurements are made in connection with those. And there is a way to interpret, when you don't make those levels, when you don't achieve those levels.
So business leaders like numbers, right? So assuming we can define and collect them, do you think meaningful metrics, particularly with respect to security, are a useful way to get leaders to pay attention?
Absolutely. I absolutely do. The problem is that lots of times when leaders make a request for metrics, or when the objective stated is it is so broad that it's almost impossible to achieve. For example, it's not unusual that I hear chief information security officers that I speak with say they get questions like, "Are we secure? Are we spending too much?" Questions like that. Well, those are very good questions. There's no question. But the point is that in order to get a useful metric that can begin to address a question like that, it needs to be broken down into something more specific. I think it's important for business leaders who like numbers to provide just a little bit more information to the people that are generating metrics so that they can provide metrics that have insight on specific topics, not something as general. It's like when you ask, am I healthy? I mean, it's an almost an unanswerable question. But what you can do is you can say, is my blood pressure normal? Now, you know, is my blood pressure normal is a question that would may not be all that interesting to somebody who's 19 and hale and hearty, but to somebody who is 70 years old and has hypertension, you know, they may want to invest in a bunch of equipment so that they can measure that hourly if necessary.
So, and, so in that again, I like your healthcare analogy because it's something that everybody can identify with. Again, this notion of context, you know, putting the question and the whatever, like blood pressure, whatever you're collecting and reporting on, you gave a nice example of putting that in context. So clearly that's very critical.
Yes. So the context, mapping it to the business, is another way that people often say this, essentially the same thing.
So you've given some great examples. Let's take this a little bit further. So how would I know, kind of from a characteristic sense perhaps, how would I know a good metric if I saw one as contrasted with a bad one? It sure would be great if we could do better than high, medium, low, or red, yellow, green.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know when I first started out trying to develop software that would automate metric collection, I resisted this red, green, yellow situation. You know, I always wanted to be able to provide somebody a number or a score or anything that was sort of quantitative as opposed to the fuzzy red, green, yellow notion. And I got a lot of pushback on that. I guess my conclusion from all of this is that we'll never get away from the red, green, yellow notion, but you should think of that as something that's sort of an end product, and that in order to get to that, you need a lot of quantitative data. So, for example, let's take the situation where maybe you're in a retail company, and wireless security of late has been a very topical subject. As a matter of fact, there was a segment on 60 Minutes not long ago about the TJX breach that led to unauthorized disclosure of credit card and social security information for over 90 million individuals. So this has gotten a lot of attention. Now, what you may find is that your board of directors is saying, you know, what's the situation here? Are we going to have a 60-minute moment? And it might be most efficient to communicate with them in terms of red, green, yellow. You know, you set up targets, and if you meet the target, it's green. If you're not meeting it by very much, it's yellow. And if you're not meeting it by a long shot, it's red. And maybe that's the easiest way to convey in that 30-second time frame, you know, where we stand with respect to wireless security. But beneath that, what you would like to be able to do is break that problem down into something that is a lot of smaller problems that are readily measurable.
Right, and it also occurs to me as you're breaking it down and also building it back up again to some more qualitative representation, you know, this is where you get back to this whole notion that security is a risk management issue, that the determination of where these different metrics or measures fall, red, yellow, green, if you will, have to do with the organization's risk tolerance. Is that what you see?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, and really in order to find out what defines a topical metric, which is the best kind of metric in my opinion, basically you leverage a risk analysis to do that.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Well, essentially, you know, a structured risk analysis, what it basically does is it identifies areas of unacceptably high risk. And a risk is typically identified as a four-tuple in my mind. I mean, when you look at most risk models, what it identifies is what the vulnerability, a threat that exists against that vulnerability, the impact if that threat is successful in exploiting the vulnerability, and the value of the asset involved. Those four things typically go into an identification of a risk.
Right.
And all of those four things can be to some degree measured. Certainly the existence of vulnerabilities can be measured. A severity of a vulnerability can be assigned and typically is assigned by the vulnerability measurement and monitoring products that are out there. And so essentially what you can do is you can break down a risk to these four items, and then those four items can be measured. You know, how many assets do you have that are high value assets that have at the same time high value or high severity vulnerabilities with threats that are of high probability with large impact? You can essentially take the risk analysis and use that to inspire what metrics you want to focus on first.
Well, that, you know, that's great, because that also, you know, gives you that additional piece of context, tying back to the business objectives, what's important to keep the organization moving forward, so you can justify your security investments in those types of terms.
Exactly.
So you said that your favorite security metrics are topical. Can you say a little bit more about what you mean by that, and maybe what some of your favorite metrics are, even though we've said that you require context and other kinds of ties to the business? Do you have some favorites?
The first requirement for a good metric is that it be topical. The second requirement is that there be data to back it up. And as I try to generate metrics from, you know, existing data, it certainly is becoming more and more obvious to me that metrics really are all about data. But in terms of some specific metrics that I really like, I like the simple metric, the security budget as a percent of the overall IT budget. I think that's an interesting metric. It has the advantages that it's easy to understand. It's typically of high interest to executives. It has the disadvantage, though, that the definition of the security budget is fuzzy, particularly as you cross enterprise boundaries. But if you have business units within the same organization and you can standardize on that definition, then that's a pretty interesting number. Another interesting metric that I've talked to various CISOs about that is of interest is where the CISO fits in the organization as reflected by, let's say, hops to the CEO, or perhaps the number of board appearances per year.
So that can tell you, I mean, I'm jumping ahead here, but that can actually tell you something about where the organization places its importance with respect to information security, right?
Absolutely, yes. So it's a great proxy, so to speak, for influence. The con, of course, is that it doesn't really eliminate cheap talk, you know, people that put CISOs at high levels in order to appear good but then don't actually follow through. So another set of metrics, though, I like are metrics that are essentially derived based upon administrative groupings. This would apply to any company that has multiple divisions, and what you do is generate metrics for each of those divisions and allow those divisions to compare themselves with each other, not so much as a stick but more as a carrot. If you see one organization that's doing much better than the others, then presumably the laggards can look to the leaders and learn and improve.
Well, and hopefully foster a little healthy competition, right?
Yeah, and it does. It generally does, and in most of the situations that I've seen, it has been healthy. It has not been unhealthy at all.
So what are some of the challenges that business leaders face when they want to get serious about developing and managing a security metrics program? I mean, you've mentioned some of them already. Are there others that come to mind?
Well, of course, leveraging any existing risk analysis work is important, and oftentimes that sort of work has not been done. So there's a challenge there to get the structure in place to be able to do a good risk analysis. I think the second issue I would mention is data. As I said earlier, metrics are all about data, and besides just general data quality issues, there's also the issue of data politics, which can enter in, where people just decide they don't want to share data, and that's an unfortunate circumstance. Lots of times there's disagreement as to what data is authoritative for a particular subject, and there are disagreements between various data sources about, for example, you know, what business unit an individual belongs to, if you're going to roll up numbers by business unit. So the challenges are around being able to do a good risk analysis, being able to identify authoritative sources of data that can be readily accessed. And then the last challenge that I'll mention, I guess, is putting in place a program that is formal, that has accountability, that has assigned people, that has tools that can be used to perpetuate it and sustain a metrics program, so that over time you get good data that is consistently gathered and repeatable.
How do you advise your clients and customers to kind of maybe the first small steps for getting started? How do you get them headed in the right direction?
Okay, typically what I do is I ask for a topic of great interest, and then we take it from there. So in the case of a retail organization, you know, I would ask them about their wireless configuration, and then we'd talk about if that's a topic of interest to them. Then we break it down into understanding, you know, what do they have, do they know where all their assets are that are involved with wireless communication, do they know how they're configured, and we begin to look at metrics that we can derive from that information.
So it occurs to me, when you pick a specific topic, clearly you have a high likelihood of a short-term win. In other words, if you focus tightly enough on a problem they currently have, you can actually produce a result or some benefit fairly quickly. Is that right?
Yes. Typically we can produce, I've produced results within 2 weeks. And what you want to do, of course, is produce something that's repeatable, so that not only do they get their first measurement, but if, let's say, it's useful to understand progress on a monthly basis, then they would put something in place that would allow that to happen, so that you get a monthly number.
Right, because sometimes the actual trend in the metric is more enlightening, as you said earlier, it can be more enlightening than an individual number, right?
That's exactly right. Absolute numbers are awfully, awfully hard to come by in most cases. So that typically, if you can't say, you know, I need to achieve a level, let's say, of 99% conformance or compliance with something, you know, what I could do is say at least that I'm improving at 10% per quarter or something like that.
We've mentioned the connection to risk assessment, risk management, but what about the concept of putting your security metrics program in the same context or using the same set of processes that the organization is using for collecting other performance metrics or indicators? Have you seen some success there?
Yes. I think that there's another interesting connection with just general process management and metrics. Many of the companies that I've worked with have adopted the capability maturity model from SEI.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they measure the maturity of their processes based upon, among other things, how well instrumented they are. So, for example, if somebody is wanting to understand, let's say, the connection between security flaws in software and security incidents in applications that software implements, then they need to have good instrumentation not only of their software development processes, but they have to have good instrumentation of their incident response, so that they can, for example, discern between security-related events and non-security-related events if they want to. Basically, what is happening is that as people make their processes more mature, they're adding more more instrumentation to those processes, and that instrumentation then can be used to derive metrics.
Well, and with the example that you just gave in terms of application development and incident response, typically those are siloed within organizations, so having an integrated process brings those areas together, I think, in a more meaningful way from a metrics point of view.
Yes, and that's another interesting technical characteristic of metrics, is that the most interesting metrics tend to integrate multiple sources, correlate what's happening in one place with another place, and from an implementation perspective, any automation system needs to be really good at data integration.
Well, Betsy, this has just been fabulous in terms of, giving both for me and for our listeners much more insight on the topic than we've had before. So I certainly do appreciate your time and your wisdom. Are there some sources that you like where our listeners can learn more?
Well, there actually are. There are almost too many lists of metrics out there, but there are lots of them. You can Google to get a lot of them, but there are lists of metrics that that NIST has provided, the Center for Internet Security, the Computer Security Institute, SANS, BITS, and of course CERT are all great sources. One other area that I think people should look at is the Common Vulnerability Scoring System that's provided by MITRE. It provides a very nice framework that sort of divides a metric into a base score and then a score that is modified based on context, and then another score, yet another score that's modified based on a temporal area, as time changes. For example, is the nature of a vulnerability going to change? So that Common Vulnerability and Scoring System is good. I also highly recommend Andrew Jaquith's book that's called Security Metrics, Replacing Fear, Uncertainty, and Doubt. It's available on Amazon. In the interest of full disclosure, I was a contributor.
Those are great sources, and we'll certainly make sure to include links to all of them in our show notes.
Okay, great.
So again, thank you so very much, and I look forward to future conversations.
Thank you very much.